Go ahead.
For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven.
A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted.
A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up.
A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance.
A time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing.
A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away.
A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak.
A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. The word of the Lord.
Amen.
I want to just lift up Janice. This is her first time singing with our Today's Choir, so let's give her a hand. Appreciate that, Janice. Remember, that's Today's Choir, so we get here about 9:30 and put something together, and we're singing it right here. So that was wonderful. Thank you. As I said before, our theme for today's worship is all about seasons, and truer to her great talent, I mean, Bathsheba picking out some pieces from Vivaldi's famous piece, The Four Seasons. And true to form, this piece has four movements, of course, for the four seasons. But there's a Seattle composer who is putting together a seasons piece for the Pacific Northwest, and it only has three movements, two very short movements called Spring and Summer, and this extremely long one that she calls just Rain. Every region has a different pattern, right, to their seasons. And that's kind of one of the cool things about this world, right, is the seasons are all different wherever we go, wherever they live. We live, and it changes who we are, those seasons, right? I mean, we are connected to our created world, so it does change who we are. That's why I think it's so challenging and kind of fun, in a way, to preach to all of you on Sunday morning, because each of you is in a different place on your journey. I know, for instance, this week, one of you is marking a tragedy, a year of their daughter's death. I know that person is with us today. And I know another couple here who is celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. Two completely different seasons. And I probably know another couple here that was arguing all the way here. Another season, right? Or one of us has had someone graduate from college this summer or this early spring, and who is now a nurse at Evergreen Hospital. Let's give congratulations to Josie Walsh. All of us, right, going through these different seasons of our lives, and they're all different, and yet there's some overlap. We're all headed, for instance, towards an election season, whether we like it or not, right? We all have come out of a COVID season. For those of us in school systems, we're about ready to head back to school again. Summer is about over. And as predictable as these seasons might seem, I mean, we mark them on our calendar, right, these seasons, we actually have, believe it or not, a day that summer ends and fall begins. We know from experience, though, that these seasons are more like the famous Yellowstone National Park geyser, Old Faithful. I don't know if you've ever gone to see Old Faithful, but I remember the first time I went as a kid, and everybody said, this Old Faithful, it's going to go off at 2:14. Everybody gather around Old Faithful, and we're all sitting there and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And then some of us leave, and then we turn around, kaboosh, that Old Faithful goes. And I just think that is a little bit more the way life is, right? I mean, we may have seasons, but we can't kind of count on when they exactly are going to start or when they're going to exactly begin or end. And that's a lesson for us, right? As much as we want to calculate everything and put everything on a calendar, there are certain parts of our lives that we can't do that. We can't, for instance, say, I'm grieving this year. Next year, I'm done. That is not how it works. It just doesn't. Life is a lot different than our scientific minds want us to be. Richard Rohr describes life not as a linear rise, which is the way we'd all like to have it, right? Just a rise all the way, but more like a dance where we're taking three steps forward and then two steps back, three steps forward, two steps back or three, four, five back, six, seven forward, right? I mean, that's the way it works. And I love that analogy, and I want all of us to think about embracing that. The idea that we all live in seasons, because life isn't linear, is it? Because we don't live in a laboratory. We live life here in the Pacific Northwest, where seasons ebb and flow, where life is much more like a dance than we have ever imagined. So what season are y'all going through right now? The book of Ecclesiastes, third chapter, there is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot. And I loved how Eli just kind of stumbled over this line, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build. Where are you today? I was watching the Olympics last couple of weeks, and I'm hooked on a couple events here. I'm not done watching them all. Boy, can you imagine how much time it would take to watch all the Olympic events? There are so many. But I'm a gymnastics fan, just around the Olympics. I don't watch it any other time, but something about the Olympics. My breath, it was taken away this year by the men's gymnastics team from the Ukraine. The Ukrainian team chose, the men's team chose to train in their country, a totally war-torn country, the Ukraine. They have pictures of themselves. I think we can watch a video here. This isn't the gymnastics team, but it's a couple of the different Ukrainians
when
who
Russia
chose
invaded
to.
Ukraine in February 2022, Bogdan Yadov, a 66-kilogram European judo champion, was training for Paris.
5 o'clock in the morning, my best friend called me and said war started.
So was Yaroslava Mahuchik.
Yes! Oh!
The world's number one ranked high jumper.
I felt fear inside and I said goodbye to my life.
With training facilities torn apart by Russian bombs.
Believe it or not, there was a nice gymnasium here.
And constant air raid sirens interrupting almost every practice.
If start attack, we have bomb shelter in our sport hall.
Suddenly, the two athletes faced an impossible choice. Should they go abroad, where it's safer, or remain in Ukraine?
Привет.
Bogdan chose to stay. He couldn't bear to leave his wife and son.
Sometimes it's really hard to fight. But I won for my country.
Yeah, and the Ukrainian gymnastic team chose to stay. And their reason wasn't just to stay with their family. They wanted to be symbolic for their country, for those who had to stay, who had to be in there. They didn't feel like they could leave. They wanted to be a symbol for them that they could get through this. And so even though the gymnastics team didn't get a medal, the team medal. They did very well, and especially for the situation they were in, they deserved a gold medal, I think. There just aren't words for people who are living in that situation. And some of you may be living in personal situations similar to this. According to Marcia McPhee, the spiritual journey can be understood as a dance moving in and out of four mystical paths. And I just want to lift up these paths. Because I think if we're going to have a balanced life, a full life, these four paths are so important. We need awe and wonder. We lose that so often. I know when Cindy and I went to a marriage group one time, and the guy brought out this old, cruddy, ugly-looking violin. It was a piece of junk, and he passed it around, and we all took it, and I remember I even kind of tossed it to the next person, and then he stopped, and he said, "Do you realize that this is actually a Stradivarius worth $1.6 million?" And then he had us pass it around again. And we passed it around way different. And he said, that's what happens to our relationships time sometimes. We just don't see the wonder anymore. So we start tossing stuff around and saying words we don't even mean and hurtful things because we don't understand how precious the gift we have right next to us is. We need awe and wonder in our world, and we need to always include that into our lives. And the second one is letting go. How can we move from one season to the next if we can't learn to let go sometimes? Can you imagine? And some people are doing this. They're carrying all their life on their back. All their experiences, they're holding and holding and holding, and they're so weighed down by all of that they can't even maneuver anymore. God doesn't intend for us to live like that. God intends for us to understand that there is someone we can let go to. We can let go and let God have some of that. Don't hold it. Or you can't experience the next season in your life. And if you can't let go of that in church, find a counselor who helps you. And tell the counselor, I'm having a hard time letting go. And learn to do that. Third thing is, we need to be creative. That's why I love the choir in our church. But we need to be in a part of a group that does something creative, right? Whether you're writing or you're painting or you're singing or you're just creating a family, because that's a real creative thing, right? Or creating relationship. We need creativity. I've been watching and listening to a podcast called 30 Bach, and it's about the Goldberg Variations by Bach. And by the way, Bathsheba, did your master's or doctorate on that? A version of it. Okay, she's always so humble. But anyway, so that's very neat. But in one of the podcasts, they talked about the people who are performing that piece are kind of like mountain climbers. And they've climbed that piece many times. And so they become guides to us as they're playing to show off different parts of that piece in a different way. Their understanding of their life, if they put it beside this piece, they become kind of a mountain guide for all of us. And in a way, I think that's who we are as spiritual people, right? We've walked this mountain called life a certain way. And we've all had different incidents, conflicts, struggles, deaths, celebrations. And we get the gift when we're around other people who are spiritual to kind of share our perspective, not the whole world's perspective, don't make that mistake, our perspective of how we've walked this mountain. And by sharing that, we can listen to someone else and learn so much. So we need that creative journey. And last, we need compassion and justice in our lives. We can't just walk through life without having a purpose, without turning something that's gone terrible in our life into a blessing. We are a people of redeemers. We've been redeemed, and we have it in our very souls that when we are in a conflict, when something terrible happens in our life, we cannot just let it sit there. We need to take it just in our hearts. This is the way God built us, and turn it in to something positive. It is some sort of blessing. I don't know if you've been watching the news, but in India right now, there's a terrible rape in the medical field. One of the young doctor trainees, a gal, got raped in a situation where she was in a hospital. And it was a terrible experience. But if you watch the news right now, the doctors and the nurses, the medical staff, going on strike. They couldn't just sit there and watch this world become more violent. They couldn't just sit there and accept what that was. They had to walk into the streets and become a part of the justice system to change that. And we too need that in our lives. We've been talking a little bit in our God's Hands group of how we maybe as a church could find some project that really digs into this redeeming character. And we don't have it all figured out yet, but we know we've been working with families from Afghanistan over the years. And the women of Afghanistan who have moved here, not many of them have an opportunity to get a job. They're usually taking care of kids, and they just don't have the time really to get a job. But their families need cash. They need money. They need, and so we found out that a lot of them sew. And so we're talking about trying to figure out a way we might be able to purchase sewing machines for some of them so that they could sew in their house and make garments and make shirts and sell them and make some money or make them for their family. So that's just one way, but it's a way we can take a situation that's hopeless in a way and sew, literally, some hope into the middle of that. And so I want you to think about that in your life. And I just want to say one last thing. It's not an either-or life. We don't just have joy and then just have sorrow. Yes, God does take our sorrows and turn our mourning and turn them into day, but a lot of times we live in a world and in our lives where we have both emotions going on. In Vacation Bible School, we had this word, nervited. It's a new word we made up. Nervited. Nervous, yes, but also excited. So nervited. And I think we can have both mourning and dancing in our lives. And so often we've been taught, this is my season of mourning, and then this is my season of joy. Bruce Mulliken was a sergeant in the police force in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and was a part of a church of one of my friends, and his son died at 20 years old. They just found him on the couch, dead, no reason, no drugs, no nothing. Couldn't figure out what happened, but there he was. Just tragic situation. And in the midst of the grief, Bruce started just kind of listening to his heart, and he said, he just got this thought one day that in order for me to get through this and our family to get this through this, we're going to have to, in the midst of our suffering, find ways we can occasionally find joy. And he started to figure out ways he could do this. And so one day, his family, he still had two girls, and his wife and him, they were riding their bicycles. And they're going up this big old hill, and the hill just felt like death. You know, it was so hard to get up, and he thought, oh, this is the worst. I mean, this just feels like what we're going through. And he looked over to the right, and there was a golf course, and they had these giant sprinklers going. And so all of a sudden, he said, come on, everybody, follow me. And he took those bikes, and they rode right through those sprinklers, every one of them, and they just shrieked with joy in the middle of their tears. That, he said, that moment, that revelation was something that stayed with him as he went through grief. And he found that that image of him, yes, being sad, but also, yes, finding joy was what got him through that worst of times. May we find ways as well to both speak to the suffering. And here's what I want to say. Don't be joyful if you're not. You know, it's okay. We need to be okay with where we're at. But if there's joy, embrace that as well. And so may we find the seasons. And if there are two seasons in one, may we learn to live creatively in the midst of that. And all the people said, amen. band, if you would come forward. The band is going to present a song for us today for worship. It's called Fresh Wind, and the words are so appropriate for what we're talking. And we ask God at this moment to let us, release and let go so fresh wind can come into our lives.